The Reverend Fleming Rutledge, Episcopal priest and eloquent preacher, says, if you can only have one of these seven last words, this is the one to have. My God, why have you forsaken me? It plumbs the most profound depths of human suffering. Paradoxically, it also brings the most comfort. Jesus is in his last moments on the cross. He has endured the most unimaginable physical suffering, hard for most of us to imagine. I don't feel the need to go into the details of exactly what happens to the human body when nails are driven through it and then bear the weight of that body as it hangs on the cross. Hunger, thirst, exposure. All this after other physical tortures of beating, scourging, whipping, thorns, being jammed into the flesh of his head and face. There's also the mental and emotional suffering, being ridiculed and mocked, and spat upon, of being labeled and treated as a criminal. It was expected of the general population they were supposed to curse and spit at a crucified person. It was part of the ritual, part of the entertainment. Jesus also knows the particular suffering that comes from being betrayed and deserted by many, but not all, of those closest to him. Jesus is experiencing the extreme of human suffering. And out of the depths of that suffering come his words, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's important to be very clear that God did not do this to Jesus. The Father did not do this to the Son. Jesus has willingly given his life over. We regularly imagine that to feel abandoned by God is to lose faith in God. We think maybe we are not good enough at believing. But here on the cross, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, experiences God-forsakenness. It's not the result of Jesus' lack of faith. It's a chapter in the human story. When God becomes incarnate in human flesh, even God cannot escape this dark valley on our pilgrimage through life. Suffering, including feeling God forsaken at times, seems to be part of the human experience that we all share. I wonder, is there any of us who has not felt abandoned at some point in our lives? Perhaps we felt physical or emotional abandonment by a parent, or betrayed or deserted by a friend, a spouse, a lover. Abandoned or forsaken by our employer, our church, or a public institution we relied on. Sometimes even a cold shoulder can feel like abandonment. In our darkest times, times of dire medical diagnosis or rigorous medical treatment, loss of job or work, severe personal or family crisis, perhaps we have felt God forsaken. Haven't we thought, my God, I cry, but you are not answering. Are you there? Or are you hearing me but just not responding? My God, why have you forsaken me? It's understandable that Jesus might feel forsaken by God as well as everyone else. But these words that Jesus is speaking are the opening words of Psalm 22. As a faithful, observant Jew, Jesus would have known the Psalms by heart. In extremis, in his darkest of hours, in the starkest of human abandonment, Jesus turns to the Psalms. I've been reflecting on the times I myself or others have turned to the Psalms or to well-known prayers for comfort during suffering. One woman, having been confined to bed rest for months, was now in labor, trying to bring her twins into the world. It was her first time doing this, and it had been a dangerous pregnancy. She was enduring physical and emotional suffering. She was understandably feeling deeply afraid, perhaps to the point of terror. Her husband was there, and other family and friends were supporting from a distance. So I don't think she felt abandoned so much as deeply alone in this task, an aloneness that made her cry out to God for help and comfort. She told me that, unplanned, she found herself saying the Lord's Prayer through her labor, a phrase or two between each contraction, over and over. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As she prayed, she felt God's presence more strongly than she had ever felt. The twins were born and are now thriving young adults. In my second term of seminary, almost 20 years ago now, I received a shocking diagnosis of breast cancer. There was no family history, no health history to speak of, except maybe childhood mumps and a bad case of the flu one time. I was terrified. So terrified that I could not sleep. And I knew, was not alone. I reached out to family, to friends, to my church community, now 3,000 miles away, to my new seminary community. I was terrified, but I was also mad at God. Really? After all these years getting to seminary, I've just gotten started. And now this? After several sleepless days and nights, in desperation, I began reading the Psalms in my Book of Common Prayer. I noticed how many of them say something to the effect of, "Protect me from my enemies." I had always understood those enemies to be people, and that is accurate. Jesus' enemies were actual people, betraying him, torturing him, mocking him, putting him to death. I gradually realized that my own enemies were not actual people, not even the cancer, but my enemies were fear and anxiety. Somehow, in my desperate crying out with those Psalms, sleep returned, along with a certainty that whatever had to be faced, God would be there. I imagine that Jesus is praying Psalm 22 in his darkest hour. For all its graphic description of suffering, Psalm 22 actually ends in hope, in praise and assurance that God has heard and has answered. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Jesus' prayer of abandonment is a prayer of faith. He's not hiding from God or his feelings. Jesus, like the psalmist, addresses his pain to God, and he calls on God to respond. And God does respond. God is there. Even when we question it or feel otherwise, God is there. God is always there in love.